Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Bree and Aki are here. How are you two doing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
No Jacob. He'll be here later in the show, but he'll be here for reviews. At least he fucking better be. I swear, if Sunday rolls around and he's not ready, I'm punching him directly in the taint. Direct. Uppercut to the taint. Just sure you can, right? Oh. So how is everybody's week?
Let's see. I put like 30 hours into a game that I wanted to not put that many hours into. There was a DLC that I wanted to play, but when I got to the game, it deleted my save. So I had to start the game over and play for like 10-15 hours just so I could get to the privilege of playing the DLC. And then 90% of the way through the DLC, the game crashed, and when I tried to reload it, it's stuck in a reload screen, and everything I have tried does not do it. So needless to say, I'm pissed. I sent a bug report to the devs and I have heard nothing.
Is this something we're covering?
It's something we covered in the past and are covering something else from them in the future. So I'll just leave it at that for now.
That's worrisome. How about you, Aki? How was your week?
Well, I didn't sleep a lot, and then last night I slept a whole bunch, so pretty good.
That sounds like a thrilling week.
Yeah. No, I basically keep my weeks completely filled with I wake up, get out of bed, come in here, and start working on review games. So my life is kind of boring in comparison to everyone's, I think, general on the planet. So
I bought new pants this week.
Nice.
Last pair
of
pants I bought.
Were too big.
Last pair of pants I bought were a 48 waist. I am now wearing a size 40.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It is weird. I legit cannot remember the last time I was below a 42.
Good.
This is very odd for me.
I mean, everything's
now this weekend's the first time I'm going in public as a thinner person. Not thin, but thinner. I mean, I'm still fat. I'm still rocking the fat, so.
But still, that's like a whole experience, though. Like, you're going to have to, like, move differently amongst the crowds.
Yeah.
I know that sounds weird, but, like, it does make a difference. Like, you're used to space being different around you.
Indeed. Yeah. USAF Gamer, thank you for dropping some biddies in chat. I believe you're the one who snuck me some Blackberry Citrus Mountain Dew the past couple of days. I should grab that out of the fridge. Talk for a few minutes. I'm going to grab that.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I'm going to post a picture in the Discord that I forgot to post.
I'm having issues over here.
I see that.
God,
we can hear that, too.
Whatever, I'm just leaving my mic like it is.
All right, let me post a picture in the Discord of cute things. I have a mouse door.
Okay, that's something I need to see.
Uh-huh.
Especially if you actually made a mouse door, and it's not just a mouse ate through something.
I have a mouse door in my baseboard. And I totally want to put like little plants and stuff. There's a little welcome mat there. It should be posted now in Adventures of Bree. It has a tiny little handle and a tiny little window, and there's the tiny little welcome mat.
Is there a mouse that actually lives in there?
No, but it is the size of Teak's toy mice, so it's flippin' adorable. But yeah, I want to get like little tiny topiaries and like little rocks and
I am struggling with my mic stand so much tonight, and it is funny.
Yeah.
I have Blackberry Citrus Mountain Dew, thanks to retired USAF gamer, and I will hopefully have more soon, thanks to Aki.
That sounds like something I would like as well. So, yeah.
Available at Casey's stores.
Ooh, I have a Casey's near me.
Do you? There you go.
Yes. I will have to go check that out. Blackberry Citrus Mountain Dew.
It is very good.
Yes.
They had it as a Game Fuel a few years ago, and now they brought it back as a location limited. I think it's time limited as well. But.
I'll have to see if my mom ever, because my mom and I got one to try as well for just us when we picked up Joe's, and I'm not particularly fond of Mountain Dew just in general at all. Mom loves Mountain Dew, but she only drinks diet. So neither of us particularly liked it. She was like, I bet that would taste good with vodka. And I need to see if she's actually made that yet or not, because anything that I can get that has vodka added into it is a good day for me. So
that's fantastic. Yeah, it's like, good, you know, though.
That sounds great. And Mom was like, yeah, because you drink so much. I'm like, just because I'm not an alcoholic doesn't mean I can't enjoy good alcohol.
Well, you gotta try harder if you're not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can outdrink. I've been able to outdrink my mother anytime I've drank, literally since she introduced me to booze. But I just don't drink as often as my mom does. So
you know what's gonna drive me to drink?
Me? I hope.
Video game news.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
That'd fucking do it.
I don't have a lot of news this week, but it's all just really shitty news.
I
have three main things to talk about. Xbox, yep. GTA, and Steam Machine. Which should we start with?
Whatever.
Yeah.
Effective August 1st, Xbox prices are going up again. The 512 Series S will go up $100. All 1 terabyte systems will go up $150, and the 2 terabyte Galaxy model is being sunset completely. So a Series X will now cost $799.
Yeah,
and they said
system that cost $499 2 years ago,
and they're hoping. Yeah. This is the last one, but they already said they're not sure, which means it probably isn't the last time it's going to be increased. Now,
there are some retailers currently that are having sales where you can get a new Series X for around $5 to $5.75, somewhere in that range, depending on the retailer. So if you are in the market for one of those, definitely get one now.
Yes, now is definitely the time to do it. Man, it's $800 for a fucking console.
I'm just really confused as how all of the companies right now are like, and we need to make our next gen. It's like, motherfucker, no one can afford your current gen. What the hell are they going to do with your next gen? It doesn't matter if you have 5 billion of them. No one's going to be able to buy the damn thing. Because hell, Steam just came out with their Steam Box or whatever the hell it is. And ain't no one buying that either. That thing's way too expensive. It's like, fuck, lower prices. I understand that AI companies have fucked everybody, but stop making bad deals, please.
Oh my God. AI is making me so mad. Like, I got an email today from a company we've covered before, and their new game is out on Steam. I clicked on the link and it gave me Steam apparently has like pop-ups now when there's AI content, which is pretty handy.
Yeah,
I like Steam.
And some of the artwork was AI and all of the voice work was AI. And I replied and I said, we cannot cover your game because of the AI usage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said, send me a script. I'll record your fucking voices free. I don't care.
Yeah.
If it means they don't need to use AI in their game, I'll do shit free. I don't care. I don't have a great voice, but I've been doing this long enough that people know what I sound like, so.
It's even hitting my section of gaming, which is very upsetting. I saw one of the games, they're like, oh yeah, all of our 2D and all of our animations were made in AI. I'm like, bitch, that's literally the entire game. The only reason anyone buys these games, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
That would be like having an audio-only game and being like, yeah, all the sounds were made by AI at that point. It's like, then you didn't make a game. Fuck off.
Xbox is also saying, we are sharing programs to make Xbox consoles more accessible. Buy now, pay later. They're going to work with interest-free short-term payments. They're also going to work with partners to introduce 12-month zero APR financing on eligible hardware, and then they're going to be pushing previously played consoles at lower prices. Or you could lower the price of your goddamn consoles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, unlike phones, computers, and other consumer devices, consoles are typically not sold at a profit. Yeah, we know. They've never been. We know that. Since fucking NES days, consoles sell at a loss.
That was true up until the more recent one. I think until the Xbox One, when they finally broke and had a little profit because they raised it enough, and both them and PlayStation gained profit from that generation and the following one, they sold it just straight up at a profit, and now it has kicked everyone right in the cojones.
It's just gross, and it's not going to get any better because the Steam Machine was announced at $1,049 for the 512 gig model.
With no
controller. The 2 terabyte model is $1,349. Chuck in another $80 if you want a controller.
Yep.
Yeah, it was going to be $1,500 more or less for the best version with controller.
$1,500 for a console.
Yeah.
A PC hybrid console that you are intended to hook up to your TV like a console and play like a console that apparently doesn't perform as well as current consoles.
Yeah, and people have already come out and were like, you can make a computer that's slightly better for this, a full computer, for less than this.
Yeah.
And they were like, not by a lot less, thanks to, you know, all the companies, you know, hiking up the prices of certain computer parts, but still, you can make it for slightly less.
Well, Valve responded to that. Valve responded to that by letting the operating system for the Steambox be available. Yes.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting, like, throwback.
People are speculating that's realistically what this whole thing was for, was more or less, because they were like, no one's going to buy this at this price, so let's just push Steam OS with this, just so, because people are more likely to download that, because Steam OS apparently works really fucking good. I have only heard positives about Steam OS, but it is a Linux-based thing, so
yeah,
it's something people would actually have to relearn basically everything, because Linux and Windows are very different.
I'm not interested in learning a new operating system. Not at this point in my life.
That's fair, I guess.
Yeah. I barely know how to do the shit I do now, so.
Fair.
Oh, like $1,500.
Yeah.
That is insane. Remember when consoles would come out at like $200-$300?
Yep.
This is just gross. And now we have a record for the most expensive base price for a game, as Grand Theft Auto 6 is going to launch at $79.99 for most of the game, And then you can get the Ultimate Edition for $99.99, which will be all of the game. Physicals will be a code in a box at launch with a supposed disc release following in December.
And there are retailers that are saying...
It's $100. Cool.
Yeah, there's retailers saying they were going to refuse to carry the physical edition because of that.
Yep. Injury, remember when A Year of Live was $60?
It's
it's only $80 now, isn't it?
I think
$74.99 or $79.99 for A Year of Essential.
I don't know. I haven't checked.
People forget Essential's still a thing.
Oh, it is. You
can still just get online play for less than $100 a year. It's not that horrible.
It is. It's like $80, yeah.
There's a big ass fly that I'm trying to kill.
Okay then.
Get him.
I'm trying. I am trying. Get I don't him. Know where it went behind my monitor.
Get him.
Son of a bitch. It's a big fat fly too. Like, I want to kill this son of a bitch. Oh, I hate flies. I hate the summertime because flies exist.
Yeah, flies kind of suck a lot. I even get flies, and I don't fucking exit my house very often, and I still somehow get a fuck ton of flies in here. I'm like, one fly is too many, considering the fact that I don't open the damn doors or windows to this bitch until it's winter. What the fuck? It's so annoying.
Oh, that's cool. When you gigantify an emote, it counts as biddies now.
Nice.
That's neat. Thank you, Injury, for gigantifying Jacob's face. He had to appear sometime during this episode, I guess.
Mm.
So yeah, Grand Theft Auto, the $100 edition, not just locking out some cosmetics, but entire stores in the game, like clothing stores, a tattoo shop, that you can't get unless you have the Ultimate Edition.
Yep, so basically, the Ultimate Edition is the actual edition to the game. Yeah. So yeah, everyone was right. It is going to be $100 for it.
Yeah.
And you thought they were crazy.
Didn't I say like 2 weeks ago it's going to be $80 for the base and $100 for Ultimate?
Yeah.
Didn't I call that like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm good at this shit. I'm getting good at this for being in... quote, being in the industry for so long. Oh, man. I know there was a stink over Halo. There was talk originally that you were going to need multiple PlayStation Plus accounts to play local co-op. That was misinformation when it came out. You just need to have multiple PlayStation accounts, which makes sense. And they do have to have linked to an Xbox account as well.
Huh.
Although I do believe you pop achievements playing it.
Nice.
That is something that is...
and achievements.
They do that with Sea of Thieves. That's what Lloyd is doing. You you have... he plays it on PlayStation when we play together so that he doesn't have to do it twice. And he gets the trophy on PlayStation, and then he goes back in and loads in his Xbox version, and it pops any achievements there. Nice. That he got trophies for. So yeah.
Oh, that's nifty. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, but if he does it the other way around, he doesn't get the trophy. He just gets the achievement. So he plays on both. No.
I'm actually surprised PlayStation doesn't pop the achievement as well, like locally on PlayStation, because I know some games have achievements on other platforms, like Ori and the Blind Forest has Xbox achievements.
Minecraft,
The Burrs. Oh, man. Aki, what news do you have?
Oh, bad news, mostly. Richard Garriott got he's the creator of Ultima, and he got the rights back from EA. So cool. I don't really know what Ultima is, but it seemed interesting.
ECRPG series.
Okay. Yeah, I figured the older folks here would know that one. And then to keep bad news going, because I live for that, Bobby Prince, the composer behind the Doom 2, Wolfenstein 3D, etc., etc., passed away I believe it was natural causes, so it, you know.
I mean, he was like, what, 90?
I believe 92?
I know he was up there, like, so he lived a nice long life. And didn't he just see his work inducted into the Hall of Fame before he passed?
I'm pretty sure he did, yes.
Or the Smithsonian or something like that. It was some kind of honor that his music was inducted into something. And it's cool that he got to see that before he went.
Yeah.
Or Acolyte, I've got some bad news. There's a Sea of Thieves movie being made.
Hey, that's coming up next.
Should I get the button ready?
I mean, yes.
Naki, any other news?
Nope, that was it. The Doom soundtrack was added into the Library of Congress.
That's what it was.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what exactly it was. So, yeah, and that happened in May this year.
Cool.
So, yeah.
All right, Bree, should I hit the button, or do you have other stuff first?
Well, I was going to set it up by saying I have more bad news, but we'll go with Movie Watch.
It's Movie Watch. There.
So, yeah, in the planning stages is a Sea of Thieves live action movie with director of Spider-Man, Brand New Day, and Shang-Chi set to produce. There's no director set. Supposedly, the concept is that you would be following a member of the community or something like that. It's really sketchy what I read that they're trying to do. I don't like it.
I mean,
I think it sounds stupid. I'll still probably watch it. You heard that and you're
like, fuck that!
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, to be fair, from what I gather, it doesn't feel like DFBs has, like, any real major storyline.
It does, actually. It has a lot.
Story, doesn't it?
Nope. Oh. It actually used to have, before the seasons started, there was actually, between the Tall Tales and some other content that expanded over time, there was actually a pretty rich lore to the game that built out a continuing story about Flameheart trying to take over the Sea of Thieves, and just a whole lot of intricate plots that I think a lot of people missed, sadly, because of some time-limited content that they did. It kind of left out some of that storyline that was continuing, but then they kind of stopped doing the continuation of that storyline when they started the seasons. They stopped making Tall Tales, and so the game has kind of changed a little for those of us that really appreciated that lore.
Is the Pirates of the Caribbean stuff still in the game, or did they remove it?
It is still in there. It's actually, they just celebrated like the 4-year anniversary of that being inducted into the Sea of Thieves in the first place.
Cool.
Or 3 years or something like that. Yeah, it's been around. But yeah, those Tall Tales are still there.
They used to have a story in the game, and then they basically shit all over it to install a whole bunch of time limited stuff.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. That's the exact wrong way of doing that.
Yeah.
Bree, are you gonna let your man say such horrible things in chat about the movie?
Hey, that's not bad. Jack Black being in it will be amazing.
He actually would make a really good Ramsay if he toned down the ham like just a little bit. The pirate lord Ramsay,
School of Rock,
which could actually style. Be like Jack Black would do really well at that.
Yeah, I love Jack Black, so you know, anything he's in should be at least halfway ish decent.
But yeah, other news I have, also bad, great.
More,
I know,
more bad news. Hold on, I got a button for this.
Oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me!
Yeah, so I this just happened a few days ago, but Ubisoft co-founder Claude Guillemot had died in a plane crash. I think it was his own plane in France. He was 69. And then Obsidian Entertainment is being sued by a former employee for labor violations, forcing workers to work through breaks and stuff like that. The studio, of course, denies the various claims, but that is going on as well.
Oh no.
Gee.
Not great for them. So, but that's all the news I had.
Yeah, not good at all.
No.
Oh man. Something else we could possibly talk about with Grand Theft Auto is apparently due to Sony and Rockstar working together, it will play best on PS5, whatever that means.
Oh, yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah.
If I get it, it'll be on. If I'm going to get it, it's going to have to be on PC, and it'll be on super sale because $100 is that.
It's not releasing on PC.
Well, then as I said, that's the only way I'd get it. So I
wouldn't get it on Xbox.
And if I were going to get it, you would know something was wrong with me.
I've only played a fragment of one GTA game ever. It was one of the old PS2 ones, and I don't know which one the fuck it was because it's been so long ago. That's it. I played like an hour of it, and that was it.
I tried to play 5, and I could not get into it. The last time I actually got into a GTA game was the OG top-down PC game. That was a long fucking time ago.
I would say just give me Saints Row.
Oh, I love Saints Row.
I love Saints Row. I prefer Saints Row over Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you like it pre-going batshit insane or after going batshit insane?
Oh.
Okay. Because I haven't played the first two.
I love GTA Saints Row and I love Superhero Saints Row. I think they're both great.
Because I hadn't played one and two.
Oh, the first ones are better. No, the second ones are better. No, they're all great. I love them all. Yeah, but didn't they get out of control? Yeah, I don't give a fuck. They were fun.
Yeah, that's what made them motherfuckers so fun. I started with number 3, which is where they started going batshit, and I was like, I fucking love this, and I've loved it since. That series is
one was like
phenomenal.
A wannabe GTA. 2 was a parody of GTA in every way, and it was incredibly fun. 3 was when it started going off the rails.
Yeah,
and then it just went off the rails. Yeah,
I loved all of them since they've started going off the rails. They were I've played all of those and they were fucking phenomenal. I've 100%ed all of them. Even the remake reimagining that wasn't anywhere near as good. I've even 100%ed that.
I didn't finish that, but I still have it installed. I don't know why. I keep saying I'm going to go back to it one day.
A lot of people didn't like it because the characters were so drastically different. Yeah, but I was like, you know, at first I hated them too, but they grew on me and I actually started liking them, like, actively.
I didn't mind it. I think it just shouldn't have been called Saints Row.
Yeah, it very did not
really
fit.
If it was anything else, it might have done better, but calling it Saints Row was a death sentence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, should we get to reviews? We only got a few to talk about tonight.
Yeah,
unless Jacob shows up in the later half or later portion of the whatever, we'll see if he shows up.
If he shows up, just period.
Yeah, yeah. Should we get into these?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sure.
All right. First up, Tales of CQ, developed by Ace Entertainment, published by Fireshine Games. Released June 11th on 1.0 on Steam for $24.99. Peaceful farming life sim set in the island of CQ. Grow your farm, restore your ancestral home, form heartfelt bonds with villagers, and shapeshift into different spirit forms to explore a world that moves gently with the seasons. Aki, what is going on in Tales of CQ?
Okay, so I heard about this one again in that big old thing of game shows that came up just earlier this year. You end up being this yokai, which is a Japanese monster thing. They're not necessarily like evil
spirits or anything. They're just, they are things of nature. They just exist. And you're a fuck spirit. You and your sister and your younger sister have both come back to your ancestral home where all the fox yokai came from, apparently. And you're the last two. No one knows what happened to the rest of them. They just fucking vanished. And the two of you have come back to try and figure out what happened to your folks, because you miss them, and figure out just what happened in general, because everyone else has just fucking vanished. You're stuck in your human form, and you don't know how to change back, and your sister is stuck in her fox form and doesn't know how to change at all, because her magic is really weak. And on this island lives just a whole shit ton of different yokai that have created this little peaceful town. Some of the first ones you get introduced to are Sherbert and his father, who are giant walking otter people, basically. And you are introduced because you bought this farmland, which is an original fox spirit house from this cat guy. I have no idea what the hell kind of yokai he is, but he can change into a cat form. So, a cat spirit, I guess. And, yeah, so you have a whole bunch of people that look kind of like people, and a whole bunch of people who really fucking don't, that make up this town. From, like, there's a lady who's just basically a giant bird that wears a silk dress, to a cat girl that's more cat than girl, and a whole bunch of things that just like look like people that happen to have a tail. So on your home, you start off with a very base tiny house and a single little tiny plot of land, I think, that holds like 12 plots to grow things in. And you have action points and a health pool. Everything you do basically takes an action point. You know, you want to smash up the ground so you can plant something, i.e. till it. Each piece of ground that you do that to takes up an action point. Putting the seeds down takes an action point. Putting water on it so it'll grow, an action point. And eventually, after a couple days, when it can actually be harvested, guess what? An action point for that, too. But you also have, as I said, the health bar. That's because you can fight in this game, too. There's a lot of fighting in this game. There's bad yokai around that are just kind of roaming around, as well as just straight up monsters. Like, there's large boars that will attack you. There's slimes that'll come out and try and eat you. And you fight them in every one of your attacks. It also takes an action point. So, action points! They suck. just flat out, they're not fun. You have a very limited amount of them. As you level up your character, you get more of them and stuff. You can eat food to get more of them. If you actually make a meal out of the food, which takes a few different pieces of food, then it gives you a fuck ton more energy points. Otherwise, you can buy it from any of the different vending machines or food stores in the actual city, but they're all fairly expensive, and it's kind of hard to make money. The way you make money is you take whatever crap you have, and you toss it into this box at night, and by the following morning, the cat dude will have come by, taken everything, and left money there in its place. So, yay! However, a lot of times you're also doing little mini missions. It happens occasionally that you're told, hey, go look at the request board, and someone might be like, I want a couple of this specific type of fish, or I need these minerals, or what have you. And you can take those and do those, and they'll give you some money and some love points or affection points, whatever you want to call it, that everyone has towards your character. Each individual has their own, obviously. Eventually you get enough of that. You can romance some of the characters as you see fit. There are some very pretty ladies here, so good on them for that. Otherwise, you're just running around
trying to find little hidey holes and stuff that your sister can enter called fox dens, so she can find scraps of paper so you can figure out what happened and start the piece, the mysteries together as you talk to your ancestors through the various shrines around the area. It is a very, like, slice of lifey, very relaxing style game, because there's nothing that's really too time limited. Like the request board, all of the stuff on there's time limited. You have until the next time the board pops up to have finished them. Otherwise, they just get deleted and new ones are created. So, but that's, you know, that's a do them whenever you have the items for it. It doesn't really matter, honestly, because, oh, you get some affection points from these people. You can increase them whenever the hell you want. And every time you interact with any of these people, you get a very small amount as well. So just going in, saying hi to them, and exiting the conversation for the day will give you some affection points. Otherwise, all the main missions that you have to do to continue the story, all of those are permanent. None of them are timed. It's just whenever you get to it, you get to it. Otherwise, you're just buying and building better gear so you can fight against monsters and get more resources and seedlings and stuff so you can grow things and sell stuff so you can make money, so you can buy stuff, so you can just repeat that cycle over and over. It's very, you know, an action game meets, you know, any one of those farm sims, basically. It's really cute. Any questions?
No. Are you enjoying it?
Yes, very much so. It is a very, very pretty game, and I really like the combat. So whilst the farming isn't exactly for me, it's easy enough to do. I just spend like 10 seconds every in-game day to water it or pick something if something's ready, and then I can ignore it again for like the next like hour of gameplay or so. So...
All right, well, it is clocking in at $24.99 until July 9th. You could get it for 30% off, $17.49. $25. What are your thoughts on Tales of CQ?
This is an easy buy it at that price. Like, this is a super duper easy buy it. If you would have told me this is, you know, standard game price, I'd have been like, I understand that. So, yeah, I think it's totally worth buying, even if, you know, these gardening games aren't really for you. There's so much more here, and it's just so pretty and cute. I think it's worth buying, even if that style of game isn't usually for you. I think you might still like it.
Very good. And we should probably point out this is not part of Namco's Tales franchise.
Oh, yeah, very much not. And as Horaculite said, just said it had hot characters. Of course she's enjoying it. They're not wrong. Not wrong at all.
Of course.
Hey, there's a hot Tengu babe. What can I say?
Yay. All right, next up, What Have You Done, Father? Developed by Darkania Works, published by Making Port. Released June 16th, Xbox Play Anywhere for $15.99, PS5 for $29.99, and Switch for $19.99. Mr. Freight, thanks for the 25-month sub. You wiener. Punch you in the taint. I don't understand the pricing on this, but I'll just start over. What Have You Done, Father? Developed by Darkania Works, published by Making Port, released June 16th, Xbox Play Anywhere listed as $15.99, PS5 listed at $20.99, Switch listed at $19.99. Step into the shoes of Father Matthias Martin, a revered priest entangled in a web of forbidden desires and sinister events. Unravel the mysteries of a corrupt rectory, confront your inner demons, and walk the thin line between sin and salvation. Bree, Aki, both of you played this. Bree, start us off. What is going on in What Have You Done, Father?
So this is like a first-person psychological horror, I say in quotations, game with cinematic cutscenes. Maybe it's more like a noir suspense game with shock value.
You should mention what other game they've made, that why we know it, because that would help them a lot. Last Days of Lazarus. This is the dev of that game, so it's much in that vein of its quote unquote horror, but not really.
Yeah,
super scary.
But either way, spoiler: this is a mature game with partial nudity, depictions of violence, sex, and male masturbation.
Yay!
This takes place in the 1940s somewhere in Europe, and we start off with like a priest in prayer. It's Father Matthias, and he answers the call of a parishioner who needs some help with a discreet problem and sets himself to making tea to meet with her. And then he runs into his student Felix, who likes magazines about dapper men, and we collect things to make tea for our meeting with Marina, who's apparently in love with Matthias. And she's a temptress, that one. And Father Matthias starts his path to sinning. Because after they sleep together, she ends up dead in his bed and he panics. And that sets off a whole series of events. And most of the story is told as like a series of confessions from Matthias's perspective in a confession booth. There's hallucinations, questions about reality, and a mystery to solve that isn't so straightforward. Each chapter starts with a religious depiction or description of increased levels of sin, for your information, according to, you know, the Bible and the church. There's, you know, points of time where your sin is just so great you're considered to be possessed, and you know, stuff like that. It's good clean information for you to know. There isn't much else I can say about the plot without ruining it.
This game is only a couple hour long game.
It's like a two to 3 hour game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Why are you jerking off in the game?
I'm going to get to that. Matthias isn't all that well developed. There are some twists in the story for sure. And if you're paying attention, the clues are there to most of the twist, but, you interact with characters via choice point with like a little wheel that you spin to select the next appropriate dialogue, but it's not really much of a choice. It's more like something for the player to interact with as you're kind of like watching the scenes unfold. You can roam free within linear environments like the rectory, the priest's room, the graveyard. You can find collectibles in the form of photos and magazines. You also need to find objects specifically to interact with other things that help progress the plot, like tea or finding three flowers to put on a grave. I don't know why it took me so fucking long to find that third flower, but boy, did it.
I had already found them before you had to do that, because they stuck out so much.
I had found two of them beforehand, but the third one, I just did not think to walk off that side path, because it didn't look like a path. This is partially voice acted. It's okay. The audio work was pretty well done, like thunder and atmospheric music and stuff like that. The graphics are well done. Again, if you saw The Last Days of Lazarus, it's very similar. It's got realistic textures and weather effects, and you know, it's pretty well done. It has a chapter select in case you missed something and want to get collectibles for achievements. But the game is only a couple hours long, as we mentioned, and it's kind of slow despite being so short. And I felt like sometimes I wasn't entirely sure what I was supposed to do or how to do it. But it's basically like an explore and react to the events as they unfold kind of game. And I had an okay time with this, but there is one key element I find very annoying. And yeah, I apologize for spoilers.
Because it is, and there's just no way around it, and you really you need to know to know if it's worth buying for you.
I dislike the portrayal of the villain as a crazed gay man. In the 1940s, that was something that would be institutionalized for sure, without murder as a motive. But I just didn't sit well modernly that essentially his motive for murder is that he was gay and it drove him crazy. And the final scene makes that whole thing much worse. And the masturbation scene is like, he shoots someone and then we learn the truth that I'm not going to spoil for you. And then we see him masturbating. It's weird.
Horror Acolyte is saying it uses some AI generated stuff potentially.
Oh, I did not notice that.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Let me do some looking. Keep talking.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much what I had to say for this. Aki, you want to add any comments?
I was the first one to finish this.
I had seen the ending before I played it, because I had seen it on someone else's stream, and I was like, okay, what did I get myself into? Yeah.
Okay, yeah, the fashion magazines, as well as some of the pictures that were on the walls, are made with AI.
They were heavily edited in hand by Photoshop.
Going to tell you right now, the moment you see one of the the men's magazines,
that is clearly
AI.
I can see it now that you mention it. Yeah.
I played through it first and beat it, and I was like, yeah, I don't like this ending. This ending kind of ruins the entire game, because, you know, obviously, I, a lesbian, am, you know, that term gay.
You're what? Like,
yeah, who would have thought, ever?
I know.
And, they're just like, he's a gay man, so he's evil and crazy, and it's like, thank you. That's, you know, totally the kind of rep that we love. You know, that's the Disney rep that you just gotta love.
And it's not just that he's gay and he's the villain. It's that the sort of way that they present the motive for him going crazy and killing people was that he was gay.
Yeah.
It's not okay. It's not. It pissed me off, too. And I'm not gay,
it's Disney, so therefore the villain is gay. It's like, it goes a step further, because, no, he's not just bad and happens to be gay, no, he's bad because he's gay. Yeah. And that, I thought as a society, as a whole, we had gotten the fuck over that, and apparently not, and...
And there may be something lost in translation there, because it is, I think, a Polish company or some Romanian company. You know, and that may be lost in translation a little on how they portrayed it. But, you know, from my perspective, it was definitely more like the way that they stated it was like ultimately like, oh, yeah, he's the villain because he's gay. And I'm like, no, that's not cool.
Jeez. Well, we got to make a decision on this one. It runs anywhere from $16 to $21, depending on the store you buy it on, which I still don't really get, but, you know, it is what it is. Or if you want to get it on Steam, it's $11 on sale for $4.39, so there's more prices for you to consider. Let's go with Xbox. $16. What do you think?
No.
I want to let people judge it for themselves. Like, it wasn't a bad game in terms of mechanics. I just think the ending was bad, and like the best I could say is get this on a really deep sale. But like, even that, like, I kind of.
If you want to support this company and you like the visuals of this game, go get Last Days of Lazarus.
Yeah, that's a better way to put that. Yeah. The shock of this was a bit much.
All right. Next up, Speed Date Summer Edition, developed by Icarus Interactive Entertainment, published by Dolores Entertainment, released June 18th, Xbox Play Anywhere, Switch, PS5, $11.99. Summer's here and hearts are heating up. Meet five different beauties, hang out, flirt a little, and maybe even find your summer romance. Your choices matter, and the story's all yours. Bree, tell us about Speed Date Summer Edition.
Well, this is a full motion video game with girls in bathing suits. Aki, pay attention.
Bikinis?
Yes. This game is in Turkish with English menus and subtitles. Some of the things don't translate well. Like Olga says, can you give me a piggyback ride? And she means, can you rub the sunscreen on my back? It's all first person, the way that the video is shot. There are five different women you can date with names like Azra, Olga, and Vildan. You can meet with them for dates where you choose three ladies at the start to meet up. There's no cohesion to these dates, no plot in the middle with the guy, like in the winter edition of this game. It's just you, the user, looking at ladies in bikinis. There is the slightest nod in the intro video of the phone of the guy from the first game, Speed Dates Winter Edition, getting broken up with by his girlfriend, Layla, and he hits the Speed Date app on his phone, and the rest of the game is kind of like this weird fan service piece instead of like a dating sim FMV. But yeah, after you succeed or fail at the first dates, you get to choose two of your ladies to go on a second date. And then if you succeed from there, you can take one woman on a final third date, which is usually like at your apartment or her apartment or something like that. The choices don't seem to matter too much. You're mostly watching clips with like a few easy to figure out choices, like help the lady out or play a game with her or don't. Like, it's kind of obvious like what you should choose if you want to succeed at the date. One of the dates I was on, the alcohol bottle was blurred out. So like Vildon had her drinking a whole bottle of blurred alcohol. It was weird. clearly during my third date with Olga, we were getting it on, but it just cut to a shot of like a tea kettle boiling water on the stove before it hit the credit scene for the game. And like, this is really well shot in comparison to the Winter Edition. There was no like weird angles. It's all just first person shots of the women, and you, like I said, are the user. You're the dater, the male, the female, the whatever you want it to be. And you have these hot women. There's beautiful shots of the beach community you're going on dates in. Everything is first person, like I said. So you see the women and an occasional hand from the person dating the women. This one didn't have a lot of substance to it. It's kind of disjointed with the flimsy premise for a plot. But I guess if you just want to look at pretty women and get achievements, this game's probably for you.
All right. Anything else to say about it, or is that about it?
That's about it.
Long and short of it, $12.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts on this at $12.
I think it was fairly quality for the recordings. The tits were nice and bouncy and sometimes wet. You could do worse. And the price doesn't suck. I would give this a try it at that price.
Sounds good. And if you buy it in the next week, it's on sale for $9.59.
And I feel like I should clarify just for Aki's sake that when I say they were wet, there's like these like montage scenes of like a woman on a surfboard, and she's like bad at being on the surfboard, but then she like falls in the water and she comes up with her hair all wet and her tits all wet. It's really,
I already approve of this game. All right.
Well, I mean, I don't want to steal Joe's like, you know, line, but I see something going on in the chat right now. You might want to like, you know, participate in.
Yeah, that's.
You know what? You're right. I can't argue. The heart wants what the heart wants.
Thanks to Dolores Entertainment, we have a spare copy to give away. Type enter if you are hanging out in chat right now. If you are not hanging out in chat and you're listening to this on YouTube or MP3, you fucked up.
Yeah.
You got to be here on Twitch. We give games away.
Yeah.
Speaking of Dolores Entertainment, we got one more game to talk about. That is Shoot the Wall, developed by Horsefly Games, published by Dolores Entertainment. Released June 26th, Xbox Play Anywhere and PS5 for $4.99. Shoot the wall. Simple, right? Use your gun to blast your way through the wall. Upgrade and change your weapon so you can shoot your way through the wall. I mean, come on. You got to know what's behind the wall, right? Aki, what's behind the wall?
Usually the end of the level.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so this game, how to explain this?
You shoot a wall.
Yeah, it's very self-explanatory. They're not fucking around. You see a wall, you use a gun and you just shoot it. So you start off, you're handed a pistol, and you're told, hey, see this wall right in front of you? Shoot it.
Actually, don't they say don't shoot it?
Actually, yeah, they tell you not to shoot it, but that's the only thing you do, so you can do it anyways.
I'm going to shoot it anyway, yeah.
Yeah, and basically what you're doing is every half of a brick you're hitting, you do damage to that half of the brick until you blow it out. And every time you do that, you make a little bit of money. So you basically can, either if you just want to get through it as fast as possible, you shoot a hole big enough for you to fit through all the way through it, or you just destroy the whole wall, which is what I did for every level, because that got me the most money. And with that, you can use the money to either upgrade specific parts to your pistol, or you can buy a new weapon and upgrade its parts, what have you. Let's be real.
The only thing you need in this game is the shotgun.
You don't need the shotgun.
What did you use?
I used the pistol.
Really?
Yeah. There is no weapon better than the pistol in this game. You can upgrade the specifics to each gun. All of them, except for the pistol, have limited ammo. You can upgrade how much ammo it has and how many bullets it carries per clip. And you get ammo drops occasionally from the walls, too. But the pistol has a very specific, fun little thing. It has no recoil and no time between shots required. So as fast as you can push the button to shoot, it will shoot. So if you have a finger that's really used to shooting guns rapidly in video games, or you're a lesbian or something like that, your hand can move real fast and shoot very rapidly in this game. Or if you have an auto clicker or something like that, I'm sure that works too. All the other guns, after you shoot, it takes us...
You touch it if you'd like.
So all the other guns, in between them firing their shots, there's a slight delay that's required basically to load up the next bullet, more or less. Okay, pistol doesn't pistol have that, so you just still use the has pistol.
A clip you gotta reload.
Yeah, that's true, but you can get some shotgun like 53 bullets.
When a shotgun shoots like 16 bullets at once and blows away like 10 bricks at once. I don't know. I like my shotgun.
I can show you a fully upgraded pistol and show you just how stupid it can move later on. But yeah, you don't get enough wall that you can destroy to actually buy absolutely every weapon and all their upgrades, sadly, even by the end. And it basically has two or four different parts that you go through. And it's one wall, you have to destroy it, you get through, it tells you a bit of story, and then basically you're kicked back to the main menu. And then you can choose a new part to play. And there's four different ones that basically give you the entire story, which is not particularly amazing. You're apparently down here looking for your dad who went missing. Or something, and
yeah, the story's cute. I don't want to give anything away. The story's cute. I thought it was enjoyable.
Yeah, it can be told to you by the characters that tell you the story in like 2 minutes total. So it's a very short one. That's why we're not really listing anything about it. So yeah,
I want to get into my gripes because I have three gripes with this game.
Oh, go ahead.
Number one, there's no invert. And that's a crime. Person. First person game. There's no invert. That's a crime.
Ugh.
Number two.
Inverted.
The splash screen from Dolores Entertainment for some reason hangs for like 20 seconds.
Yeah, you have to sit through that entire thing every time and it gets
I don't annoying. Know if it's loading the game. I don't know if it's a glitch, but it just sits on that screen for way too long. If there's a loading bar, that'd be nice. Just something to let me know what's going on. And then the third one. One achievement in the game requires you to go like 42,000 kilometers. After beating the game and wandering, I am at 9,000, and I have no plans to go 40,000 more kilometers to get one achievement in this game.
Yeah, I you're basically going moving a marathon in there. And what I did is I rubber banded my controller to automatically walk, and it took like an hour.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
I don't blame you. I didn't, because it wasn't automatically updating. I had no idea how long it was going to take, so I just left it until it popped, and it took about an hour, and I was like, oh, so that's how long it was going to take. Okay.
Arnage is like, be the first one to complete it. I'm like, not with that achievement.
Yeah, I've already 100%ed it because of that.
I think Bills is the first on TA to get it because of my lack of interest in getting that achievement.
Perfectly acceptable to me.
But yeah, it's $5 game. What do you think of this one?
I'm for it. This is very much one of those kind of like chillax games where you just do something mind-numbingly nothing for a while, and oh, look at that, the game's done suddenly. So I'm for it. It's a cute little game.
I appreciate the fact that it's Xbox Play Anywhere, because I got to putz around on my console and on my PC with it.
Yeah, I ended up on my PC.
If you're dual playing with controller and mouse, it kind of hitches when you switch between control methods.
A lot of games end up doing that, that allow for both. It really does not like suddenly being like, oh, new input. It really does not like that, but a lot of games really don't.
I'd say this is a perfect candidate for a fuck it, why not? It's $5.
Yeah.
But there you go. That is it for y'all's, I don't even think I'm going to put like intermission music. I'm just going to like move on to the next review.
Fair. Yeah,
Jacob is in chat. Is everything okay? Is he going to be able to join us?
No, he can't join. Yeah, he's like, his stuff is, his packed. TV's blocked off and stuff is packed up. He's unable to.
Oh, I thought he did everything via his phone. I thought he was going to be busy packing or something.
No, okay. He's basically packed in right now.
Ooh.
He's working on unpacking now. So, yeah, hopefully, hopefully in a few seconds we'll have a segment with Jacob doing his reviews. Fingers crossed. I will find out Sunday night. You know, when the episode's out.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Either of you have any final words?
Wet bouncy titties.
Wet bouncy titties. Aki, what do you think? Wet bouncy titties?
Yes. All the wet bouncy titties. Make them bounce.
Speaking of wet bouncy titties, Jacob's here. Jacob, how are you doing?
I mean, my titties are wet and bouncy.
Yeah, they are.
You know, move is almost complete. We will be done with everything tomorrow night, and and then I should be back to normal on the podcast. Normal scheduling.
Allegedly.
Normal scheduling. I'm not promising that like I'll actually like be coherent or anything like that.
Oh well, yeah, no one expects.
Well, you never
that.
Are, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
So we should explain, Jacob is using a different headset this week because his normal one is packed up. We were going to try another one, but the microphone was not good. We'll talk about that next week. Spoilers.
Yep.
But
which is fun.
Yeah, so you're using an Xbox 360 headset.
I am. One that, in fact, Joe actually bought for me back in like 2010, 2011. Because he was like, your mic is shit and you need a new one. And I was like, no, I'm not. And then like, I never figured out how to hook up this one properly. And by then I think I'd moved over to Xbox One or something.
Maybe.
So it's kind of moot, but, it was like a GameStop special red Samurai Xbox 360. I don't even know if they're even still around.
That's hilarious. Apex, time for Joe to buy another one in 2020. No, he got one for review. That's the sad thing, and it's disappointing. Like, I thought the audio quality, sound-wise, using them as headphones wasn't bad, but the microphone is, wow, that was disappointing to hear.
Yeah, I mean, like, I had been using it for work, and nobody had any complaints about it, so.
Well, because it sounds like a work headset. It doesn't sound like a podcasting headset.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
I mean, was it advertised as a podcasting headset?
No, it's a gaming headset.
Oh.
But the microphone quality still isn't good for a gaming headset that costs that much.
Because yeah, I don't see...
using now.
But we're going to talk about that next week.
True. We got four games to talk about this week. Jacob, are you ready to dive into them?
Yes, I am.
All right, first up, NBA The Run, developed and published by Play-By-Play Studios. It released June 9th, Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $29.99. NBA The Run is a fast-paced online 3v3 street basketball game played above the rim and packed with posterizing moments, ankle-breaking tricks, and a unique signature style. Take your favorite NBA stars to iconic streetball courts around the world, stack wins, earn cred, and become the GOAT of The Run. Jacob, tell us about your time with NBA The Run.
As opposed to Aki, who is the GOAT of the runs.
Said the guy who's always on the toilet.
Got a button for this. Wait, where is it? There we go.
So NBA The Run is a new basketball game out there. Obviously, it involves the NBA, hence the title. But
spoilers.
Much like the current NBA 2K series, Madden by EA and stuff like that, NBA The Run wants to go back to that more arcade, quick play, like pretty much anybody could pick up and play kind of feeling with the gameplay. And so it is a much shorter game, much shorter game modes with it. And it's 3x3, or 3-on-3, I should say. So it's just you and five other people or bots. The game will fill them in if need be. I actually was on with online teams of both. And that's also something to keep in mind, too. This game is online. Is
an online game, yes.
Currently. So... We'll get to the roadmap a little bit in a little bit, but so currently it is very much an online only game. If you want to just shoot hoops all by yourself, you can do that. Pretty much
you set up a private match, you're able to just do yourself and bots. I think that's what I heard the workaround was.
Okay, I haven't tried that yet. I've actually just been playing online and sucking. Everyone is.
Is there two different ways? I think I remember two different ways to play. One where you control the whole team and one where there's three different people playing the three different people on the team.
As far as I'm aware, I've only been playing the three different people thing, because like I've been playing with people on Xbox Live and ones that were definitely bots. So the controls are relatively simple. You can pass and you can shoot. If you're gonna shoot, you have to hold the button a little bit longer, so like your guy actually like takes the time to like, you know, sync up a shot and doesn't throw it all willy-nilly, which I did kind of appreciate, although I wasn't sinking baskets nearly as much as I'd hoped, but, you know...
At the top of the jump is when you release.
Oh. All right. Okay, well...
Basketball basics.
Shut up, Joe. So, anyway...
It is on first stroke. It is what it is.
No, strokes are golf.
Yeah, get your terminology right.
Yeah.
You're going to make fun of my premature ejaculations.
You better get your balls ready.
So, anywho. But yeah, the action is really quick. It's fast and furious. And matches are over, honestly, I'd say in about 5 minutes. So it's just like you're constantly moving through new matches. And so it's just like, if you're not doing that great this game, maybe you'll do better next game. And you're not always going to shut up. And you won't always be up against the same people. So I did appreciate that. One thing I would have liked was honestly some sort of tutorial mode. Because as much as the creators were touting, like, you know, oh, this is going to be a much more simplified approach. You're not going to have to do like you're not going to have like 15 years of Madden knowledge to like, you know, to succeed at this game. It still would have been helpful for something because, like ankle breaker moves and also even the dunks, like, because it's just like, oh, well, you could do dunk style 1, like dunk style 2 and dunk style like through 4. I couldn't tell what the differences were between any of them. And it was just like, I'm supposedly having all these different ways of dunking. I couldn't tell you what it was. Was I doing something wrong? Was I not hitting it? And so it's just like, I would have liked some sort of tutorial mode in this game to make it so I would know what I'm doing wrong and what I need to work on. So I could actually... Yes, no, I'm clearly fucking well aware of that. You know how many points I have?
2.
I haven't scored a single basket in online multiplayer. I've got assists out the ass. Like, damn. I am great at assisting other people, but I have yet to score a basket in online. Now, if I'm
stealing at least,
some, not a whole lot,
man.
I did take one guy out at the knees though.
Nice.
Because I dove straight into him.
Unk can't hoop.
So it's just and I do like the arcadey nature of it. Like everybody does have these special super moves or just special moves really. I liked how my guy went into this like kind of like 3D. Like a 3D comic book kind of look behind him as he was like dribbling the ball. It looked kind of nice, like especially when you pair that with dunking the ball. Also like eventually, like after you get so many baskets in a row, like you can activate like kind of like a super move kind of thing, which moves you around the court a lot quicker. Which in all reality didn't help me out that much whenever I'd activate it, because it's just like, oh no, I didn't score a basket. And then the ball like bounced somewhere else on the court. And then I'd have to like go off and grab it. But now because I'm running so quick, I would run past it so many times.
Proud of you.
One thing I will appreciate with this is that the game does its damnedest to prevent you from scoring on your own basket by accident. I tried real hard. No. Because like, you know, if you're not familiar with this stuff, like you might do it by accident. I mean, like I think that actually happened at the World Cup this year. Like one guy actually scored on his own team's goal.
That's
beautiful. Because of that, it made me think of, you know, trying to do it in this game, and the game is just like, no, we are not letting you shoot anything at that basket. If you are going to fire off your basketball, it is only one, but you only get one basket, period, dot. So the game tries to make it so you can't fuck up, which That's I do good. Appreciate. But don't worry, game makers, I still figured out how to do it. It's called existing. But honestly, like, you know, even though I am not that good at this game, like, I was having fun with it. Like,
it was. I want your opinion on one more thing before we wrap this up.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on the announcer? Because I know a legendary. How could you not have heard the announcer in this? I
don't know.
He was like the most irritating announcer I've ever heard. And I know he's a legendary B-ball street announcer, and he was in the NBA street games and everybody loves him, but it doesn't jive with me. I don't like it.
I don't know if I just didn't have the volume up high enough, like that I just wasn't hearing him. Cause I mean, I could hear the music. I don't recall anything about an announcer.
Yeah,
I'm going to be honest.
Definitely an announcer. There's a commentator. You should dive back in and listen.
I mean, I am going to be diving back in with this game. I mean,
very polarizing.
Maybe you didn't hear it because, as you stated, you were so bad at it. He didn't have anything to announce when you were doing stuff.
That is a very good possibility because, I mean, if you think about it, the only time I was ever scoring baskets was in the practice, like, not, it wasn't really like practice mode, but like the shoot hoops mode. So if he's not present in there, I don't know if I would have heard him.
I'm pretty sure he's present in everything, but I can't double check right now because I'm doing a podcast.
Yeah, but another thing that's cool about this, in case you're sitting on the fence with this game, is that the devs do have a roadmap for this game that is planned through spring 2027. So we're going to be getting more game modes in there, or you know, to liven up how the different ways to play. They're going to be bringing in more NBA stars, both current and legendary. So who knows? But of course, they didn't announce any names. And I was like, God, I hope the legendary people are somebody that I know, because I don't know anybody in the NBA anymore.
You got to know Steph Curry at least, right? Everyone knows Steph Curry.
I know the name, and I know LeBron, and I know the... okay, maybe I don't. Yeah, I think I know like two guys' names.
Scottie Pippen's still around, right? Horace Grant? No. Everyone remembers Horace Grant?
Bill Cousy? Is he still there? Is he playing for the Knickerbockers?
Is Muggsy Bogues still active? That dude was awesome, by the way. He was like 5'4", oh, yeah, and he could dunk. Shit. All right, dude, well, let's talk about
like early 90s Charlotte Hornets. Like, if you weren't like a Bulls fan, like, you better as all hell at least respect the Hornets.
Oh, I had my Hornets starter jacket. Don't you worry.
I wish I had one.
The pullover with the pouch in the middle. Hell yeah. Those were awesome.
My parents refused to get me those.
Well, that's because they were more than $29.99, which is what NBA The Run costs right now. What are your thoughts on NBA The Run at
$29.99? That price. But I didn't get to finish talking about the roadmap thing.
There is
going to be a single player campaign. However, the devs have just
campaign?
Like, yes, and ooh, even better, you can decide whether you want to do it by yourself or with two other people. And so, and the devs are like, making a single player campaign for a sports game that doesn't suck takes time. So it's not going to be launching like, you know, it's going to be launching next year, but they are working on it. And there's also going to be a practice mode too. So hooray for me. Hopefully they'll throw a tutorial thing in there, but
yeah,
we'll see. But yeah, for $30, like, honestly, this is a good, you know, this is a good one. I mean, for whether you just want to dip your toes in and see, like, you know, if this arcadey experience is more for you, or even like as a party game. I mean, granted, fuck the fourth guy at your house, but you know,
no one has three friends.
It's true. It's true. But yeah, like, I like this. I'm going to recommend it, and it's going to be staying on my Xbox for a bit.
Cool. Just remember, you got to be in online play for this one, at least until next year when campaign comes out.
Yep.
All right. Moving on, next game to talk about is Beatdown City Survivors, developed and published by New Challenger, released June 10th, Xbox Play Anywhere and Steam for $9.99. Beatdown City Survivors is a tense and exhilarating immersive sandbox survivor-like that knocks the genre on its head. The city is a nightmarish playground of interactive elements, including gas to ignite, puddles to electrify, and cars to blow up. Find dozens of weapons, including pipes, boots, pigeons, and combine them to make them bigger, better, and funnier. You'll need to make your ultimate build and manipulate every element possible to wipe out the gruesome zombies, mutants, and bloodthirsty creatures lurking in the streets. Jacob, tell us about your time with Beatdown City Survivors.
So, Beatdown City Survivors is a new addition to the Survivor genre, although it's not exactly... it's definitely more Survivors than, like, a beat-em-up. It is a kind of sequel to Treachery and Beatdown City. It has the same setting. However, much like any Survivors game, you're going to be facing off against all sorts of like creepy ghoulies and, you know, weird ass creatures of the night as you fight to survive for, you know, however long you can. Now, we did talk about this a great deal during last week's thing. I still have yet...
A great deal. 105-minute-long interview.
Yep.
Very, very much worth listening to, by the way. If you want to hear more about this game, definitely go back, check out that episode. Sean was awesome to have on. And, yeah, this is his product. And we are... I'm enjoying the hell out of it. Like, I am... I was playing this last night after I was at too many games. We went back to the hotel and I just hooked up my Series S and played it for like 2 hours.
Yeah, no, it's a very enjoyable game. I still have yet to friggin' beat the first level of it.
Use Cobra.
All right, I will try Cobra this time. But like, but anyways, one of the, as you're going through this game, there are survivors that you can meet up with, and you know, you can, there's various ways to actually make them part of your team for later use that you can actually run around in the city with. Some of them are just like, you know, you just use the character for like 5 minutes and then get them out of the city by running into like one of the armor trucks that also sell you a bunch of stuff. Some of them, they just unlock naturally through ways that I can't possibly determine.
A lot of like, them are done through like get 500 hits with a knife or spend 5 minutes with 3 different characters. Just weird stuff like that. A lot of it is just cumulative stuff so that they unlock as you, you know, sprinkle them throughout your game experience to keep things fresh.
But, yeah, and with it, there is a hip-hop soundtrack, which is glorious. And the fellow that we had on last week, he had said that, you know, there is no official soundtrack, just buy these 3 albums. That's it. But what's really cool is that all the rappers are actually playable characters, and I've had way more success with them lasting longer in this game than I have with the other ones. So I've been running around, you know, just like there's one guy who floats in the air. Oh, sorry, I had to yawn. There's this one guy who floats in the air. So all of like the chemical spill, all of the electricity that's running over the water, he misses out on all that kind of stuff, which was super helpful for me. Toxic slime, he doesn't get hit by. Like, it's just, it's phenomenal. I wish I could get farther in this game, but I am definitely in the get good scrub area it.
We should probably mention the 3 albums that are in the game because they licensed 3 full albums. He Left Nothing for the Swimback by Sketch 185. Nobody Planning to Leave by Curly Castro, Premrock, and Controller 7. And Genuine Dexterity by Kenny Siegel and KDI.
Yeah. And like the soundtrack is just excellent. Like, period dot.
Yeah, links to all the albums could be found in the show notes on last episode.
But yeah, as I said, like the aesthetic looks like it's going to be a beat 'em up. It's actually a Survivor, so don't let that fool you. But nonetheless, like, this is definitely a game to be checking out. Like, unlike a lot of the Survivors titles in that genre, where it's just like a, you know, oh, you mix up some weapons and you get other stuff, and then you just go off and kill more.
Combination weapons in this are so fucking funny. Have you gotten any combinations?
I've gotten the huge sandal and, I got the board to get bigger. I don't remember what it did.
You got to combine them. You got to max out.
I have. Like, the sandal, I combined the sandal with, maybe it was the board that I combined the sandal with.
How many pigeons have y'all been able to combine together?
I don't think you could combine two of the same, because you could only hold one of it. You level it up to four, and then you combine it with something else. But if you combine a pigeon with a knife, you get pigeons with fucking knives.
That's funny. I like that.
If you combine the board with a table, you get, like, fucking... Or no, the board with the chair gives you tables, like wrestling, go through the friggin' table. You use those, and they just fly around and hit the enemies. There was one that turns everything into vending machines that just circle around you, and you could punch the vending machines at people. The combo weapons in this are incredibly unique. I'm saying it. They're fun. They're weird. They are different than anything I've seen in any of these kind of games. I love how inventive they got and how outside the box some of these items are in this game.
Can you make a combo weapon that has a combo weapon? Or is it just one combo?
I don't know, because I haven't been able to play long enough. Like, I beat the first stage completely. I haven't been able to beat the second one yet because I keep getting my ass kicked. But it's 20 minutes, and I was able to get two combo weapons, but I wasn't able to see if you could combo the combos because I wasn't able to level them up to four.
Because
you got to level four weapons up to four to get two combos, and then you got to level those up to four.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
There's a lot to do in this game.
Oh my god, it is, and it's $10. What the hell?
Like, yeah, it is insanely cheap. People
go nuts that Vampire Survivors has so much content for $5. This is definitely on par and barely more expensive. It's only $10. We see so many games come out at $25, $30 these days, and to see something come out at $10 with this much content, this much creativity, this good of music, I'm giving this an absolute buy it.
Absolutely. Yeah, me too. Like, it's definitely worth getting.
Yeah, I really enjoyed my time with this one, and I think people should pick it up.
Yeah, it's sticking around on mine, on my Xbox.
And it's Play Anywhere, so I could play it on my PC when Ashley's watching Netflix.
Yay!
Give us a yay, Aki. You're good at those.
Yay!
I thought you were going to do like the squeaky, high-pitched
yay! That one.
Now you do it. That barely came through. That was funny. Next up, Arcade Archives 2 Space Cyclone, developed and published by Hamster, released June 17th. Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5, $9.99. Space Cyclone is a shooting game released by Taito in 1980. That was before I was alive. Shoot down the BEMs, insect cyborgs, as they appear in the sky and invade the warping from meteor to meteor. Don't let the BEMs land. They will construct rockets to launch into the sky and blast you with their deadly cyclone shots. Jacob, what is Space Cyclone?
So Space Cyclone definitely wants to, like, distance itself from Space Invaders, but it's, you know, it's made of the same stuff. You have a little spaceship that you have to control, and you are blasting these alien insect things out of the sky. But this time, if they land on the ground, they won't necessarily kill you. But instead, they're going to construct some sort of, like, missile mech thing. And then if they actually manage to construct the whole entire thing, well, then it now goes up into the sky, and it's going to start going after you. Now, if you blow up that mech thing, you're going to get a ton of points, and hooray for you. But if you don't, then you're about to feel a world of pain. Like, in terms of a shmup, it's still very much like it's not one of those where it's going to be presenting us anything like new lands, new like lots of new aliens to blow out of the sky. It's a lot of like do this, repeat, clear out each level. So it's very much still in the same with Space Invaders for that, but it has the same addicting gameplay with it. I just, a little bit of a different spin. I wouldn't say that it's easier, but I was thankful that, you know, the aliens landing on the ground wasn't an immediate death sentence with that. So, easier in some respects, but still definitely challenging.
This was released in both a stand-up arcade machine and a cocktail table version.
Okay.
Those are always fun. Dude, cocktail table arcade machines are awesome.
I've only played a handful of games in the cocktail arcade format. Pretty much, I think it's just been Pac-Man games, unfortunately. Probably.
That's the popular one, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to get those cocktail arcade one-ups.
But what do they have?
I don't know what all games are on. They have a couple different variants. The one I saw was a Capcom one. Had a bunch of fighting
Capcom games?
Yeah. Like Street Fighter, stuff like that. Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
I feel like that would be weird trying to play that as a cocktail thing, though.
I don't know. I'll have to look up again, but anyway, this is not officially part of the Space Invaders series, but fun fact, it was in the special edition of the Space Invaders Invincible Collection on the Switch back in 2020, along with Lunar Rescue.
Yeah, I mean, like, as I said, it's not actually, like, it's not part of it, but...
I'm just throwing out stupid facts. I like giving stupid facts with these games, because I love these old games.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, it's definitely worth checking out.
Clocks in at $10. What are your thoughts on Space Cyclone?
Yeah, I'd give it a buy it for that. I mean, as I say every week, like, I appreciate ACA's mission. And so far, all of the titles have been worth checking out one way or another. You know, there's been very few try-its, and it's just the titles are all solid. So this is one I'd recommend giving a check.
Very good. Final game, Arcade Archives 2, Rack 'em Up, also developed and published by Hamster. This one was out June 10th, Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5, $9.99. Rack 'em Up is a sports game released by Konami in 1987. In this, you could play pool or pocket billiards for those familiar with the fancy name, with nine ball or rotation rules. A key feature of this game is the ability to check positions of the cue ball and object balls on the 3D screen. The game appeals to a wide range of age groups and is now available as part of the ACA series. Jacob, what is going on in Rack 'em Up?
Well, Rack 'em Up, or as it was called in Japan, The Hustler, came out after the movie The Color of Money came out. And if you look at the character designs in the thing, I was like, huh, that kind of looks like an old Paul Newman. And like the guy, like the main guy who's playing pool, aka you, bears a passing resemblance to Tom Cruise. And then I was just like, wait a second, wasn't The Hustler like the original movie? And sure enough, it was. And I'm like, huh, I'm wondering if nobody bothered getting any clearances or they weren't able to get clearances. And so that's why, like, when the Hustler machine comes up, it's very clear about this does not leave Japan. interesting potential bootleg game for this, but all in all, it's like a surprisingly solid pool game. There are two modes for it. It's nine ball and
rotation.
Thank you.
Is that just standard eight ball, I guess?
Yeah, it's just standard stuff. But anyway, so when you're playing it, you have the game does line out which ball you have to hit first, which is the ball that you're trying to get into a pocket. But you're also, it gives you this interesting, like, first person kind of look at the shot that you're going to be taking. And then there's a meter that determines how strong your shot's going to be. And you can also determine where on the ball you're going to hit it, out of one of five locations. And pretty much you just have to hit pool. Well, you know, you just have to hit the pool balls. I mean, it's not like there's
pool. It's really, billiards.
Yeah, it's billiards. There's really not a whole lot else to describe about it. Although I will say that I was surprised, how fluid the action was once you're out of that like setup stage where you're trying to determine where you're going to hit your ball. The animations move very quick. Then the graphics are pretty good for 1987. It's a pool game, and surprisingly this game is actually more solid than some pool games I've had to review on this podcast, which is wild because the game is almost 30 years old.
Damn. You mean,
or wait, 40, no,
right?
40. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Dude, we're old.
We're old.
We're very
so old. Yes, you all are.
Shut up, Aki.
Yes, shut up, Aki. This game was also available for Game Room. Remember that on the 360?
I saw that it was, but I don't like. I don't recall that one. I didn't either. Mostly because with Game Room, I wasn't going to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to go own a pool game. Like there was already pool games for Xbox 360, so. In my eyes, that would have been a waste. But now I'm like, oh, this probably would have been one of the better games in Game Room.
Do you know how proud I am of my 1K in that game?
What, Game Room?
Yeah.
How proud are you?
Very.
I mean, is it unobtainable at this point?
If you don't own enough games, yes.
Huh.
Because you have to, you got to get to level 20, and I believe the only medals you can get anymore are the time ones.
Oh, yeah, I see that. The
other ones required leaderboards. Yeah, so. Huh. But this one is available now as part of the ACA and ACA2 series, clocks in at $10 for the ACA2 version. Give us your thoughts.
Totally get it. I mean, it's a solid pool game, first off. Like, it's better than that. I don't even remember the brand name for it. Begins with a B. But anyways, whatever. It's better than a lot of modern pool games. And on top of it, there's that, like, you know, potential Hollywood bootleg movie title. connection to it. Oh, you mean
the movie version of the game, right?
That's actually because I think Color Money came out in 86, so that would actually be pretty funny if we could be like, no, it's actually based on a video game from Japan at the time. It's actually the very first video game movie, The Color of Money. Ah, no, it is 86, damn it. Oh, well.
Ah, well, damn it, Mitch. And on that note, we are done. That is it for this episode. We made it through. Aki, thanks for hanging out. Jacob, thanks for coming on, doing your thing. Thanks to Bree for coming on, doing her thing earlier. I don't know what I'm playing for music. You'll hear something. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.